Thank you all for being here. Those of you at home, good to have you as well. It's always good to come together, to be together. What an amazing thing. So this is the last Sunday here, and so it's a little different. We are, in one sense, saying goodbye to this space, and we're looking forward to what is next. And so we're going to take some time to do that. We're going to take some time to look backward and just kind of remember, and we're going to take some time to look forward and look ahead. What is next in the Rio? And so I want to start, just before I jump into that, hopefully this morning won't get too long. I'm going to remember and look back, and then Steve's going to look ahead. So you get two pastors speaking, and that can be a disaster sometimes. So hopefully you guys packed a lunch, and we will be here, hopefully not too long. But before I jump into looking back, I just want to kind of look at the big picture of our church. And our church is not just a Sunday service. It's not an event that we come to. Our church is a body, meaning that we are the hands and feet and mouth and lifeblood of Jesus here on earth. We're a piece of his body. We're a family. We are the church. And so in that, I think there's something way more beautiful than just an event. And there's something a bit more scary too. It requires a bit more of my life than just going to something Sunday morning. But it actually is an invitation to come into that in a greater way. It's an invitation to join together beyond that, and to join together as a group of people who have found our life in God, who have found our life in God through the way of Christ. And he is our life. And it's not just, well, we have our life and then we got this little box and God goes in there. But we have come to a place where God is our life. He is all of our life. And through Christ, we come to God. And his love and his will is now our lifeblood. And in that, we are united as people who are seeking to know his will, who are seeking to follow him, who are seeking to know his love, who are seeking to allow everything in us to be transformed and walk with him. And in that, to be together, a company of people who love each other deeply as Christ loved us. And it's so easy in life to live relationships where we hold people at arm's length. Man, that I see that in myself. It's way more comfortable to kind of keep people at arm's length. And as I'm inviting you into a place of deep love, a place of commitment to each other, a place of walking together to be known and know each other and to bring life from God out into this world together, I assume that that's could be slightly scary for you too. It's something greater than just Sunday. It's something greater than just coming to this building. And I want to make sure that we keep that ahead of us. Jesus said, count the cost. To follow Christ is going to cost us. And what it costs us compared to Christ is absolutely pathetic. And yet something in my heart at times says, I don't want to lose that comfort. I don't want to lose that. But Christ gives us something greater. I want to invite you to continue to join together, not in this building any longer, but as men and women whose lives have been changed by God, who have tasted and seen that God is good, that he loves us and forgives us, and are committed to each other in that, to lock arms with each other and for purpose together. Why don't we pray and spend some time remembering. Thank you, God, for what you've invited us to. I thank you for what you've done. God, even as I think about the dozens and dozens of people who have walked through these doors, the lives that you know and love, the people that you care about. It's amazing to me. Thank you that you love us. It's overwhelming. There's a feeling of loss as we leave this place, and yet hope. God, I ask that you would stir our hearts. I ask that you would help us to continue to walk forward in what you have. May this time of celebration and sorrow honor you. May you be in the midst of it. May you strengthen us through it. May we know you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we look back and just think about the past 7 years, some of you have been here all 7 years. About 7.5 years ago, Steve and Kathleen Nelson and John and Misty Mole, and who else was part of that original team? Blaze, and he was just a young single dude. They started a service at Dowell Elementary, and we would set up every Sunday morning, set up speakers and chairs in the cafeteria. And the kids would walk down this like sterile hallway off to the Sunday school rooms that were classrooms. And there was a whole bunch of military folks there. And there was this energy like, let's start something next to the Army base. And let's be a part of this. And it was super cool. And Blaze wasn't even as good of a musician as he is. And there was a group, Steve was the only one that was pastoring, so he would go from the west side over to the east side, and a group of guys would fill in when he wasn't there, and we would take turns sharing messages and things on our heart, and I was part of that group, and I still get nervous to preach, but I used to get really nervous to preach. And I don't know some of the things I shared, if I shared more fear than faith, but we were there and it was cool. It was like things were happening. John and Misty moved, jumped in. And I don't know, the thing about Army folk is that you guys have to move so much. Oh, man. And even with our best efforts to try to get people that after they get out of the Army to come back to El Paso and live, it just doesn't seem, I don't know. I don't know if we're just not good salespeople or it's a tough sell. But maybe if we were in Hawaii, we could really get people to stay. I don't know. But we really just loved the people. There were so many good folks. Even just as I was thinking through some of the names, and I don't dare share too many because the ones I forget will feel like, why'd I forget them? I don't know. Just because that's who I thought of. And then we moved into this building and continued our service here. And I guess a couple military folks actually came back. The Herbies got restationed in El Paso. That was sweet. The Durbanos got restationed and came back. Adriana came back from Germany back. And to just keep moving forward. And we met so many new folks, and we loved them. We cared about them. For me, it was, as I stepped into being a full-time pastor, it was a joy for me to see some of the teachers that I taught with from the high school I used to teach at come and were part of our service. And to see one of my good friends as a teacher get baptized and declare his faith in Christ. Just such an amazing joy. And even some of the other baptisms as I was thinking about, our college group, which was mostly here, well, I guess singles group. There was a lot of single Army folk and college students, and that's a whole mess. You know, you throw a bunch of college students and Army, young Army guys together, and man, bless all of you who have to help keep things running in the Army. But anyways, young people are awesome. They have so much energy, and then they're just boneheaded too, you know. And so you could probably think of some of the like crazy stuff, people, just choices they made and what they did. But to think of those folks too, the lives were touched. And even think of Leo getting baptized and Anna from the college group. What a joy, at least from my heart, just to see this profession of, I believe in Jesus and I want to follow him. Make that known to whoever. I don't know who you think about if you think of the past years. I know Maribel was with us for a long time, and to see her finally get married and her and Marco have a baby, and to meet this tall, lanky, bald dude named Andy who comes in and starts inviting people and just doing embarrassing stuff. Not really embarrassing, but anyways. He did spank somebody on their birthday, but that was slightly awkward. Maybe that's more common in the Army, but these are. I think about these past years, and there's so much to remember. And as I remember, a couple of things come to mind. And one is, as I remember, there's a sense of sorrow and loss. And as I remember, there's also a sense of thanksgiving and joy. And those two are so tightly intertwined that I don't really know where one ends and where one begins. The sorrow and loss and the thanksgiving and joy are all mixed together in this beautiful place of what has been this past 7 years here. And I want to talk a little bit about that sorrow and loss. And I want to give you guys permission, as you remember, to actually have sorrow and feel loss. God not only invites us and gives us permission, like, yeah, if you want to cry, it's okay, but he actually shows us that's the way to keep going with a soft heart. That's the way to keep following God. The greatest warrior I know in the Bible, David, at least one of my warrior heroes, was not afraid to mourn his losses. And he didn't just mourn those losses in a vacuum, but he mourned those losses before God. And I want to give you guys permission and even invite you in. As you remember, mourn that. There is sorrow. There is loss. This world is full of pain. Let's be real. If you don't think this world is full of pain, if you don't think ministry is full of pain, go a couple more years. Ministry is full of pain and sorrow. Following God is full of pain and sorrow. It's not the full story, but it is a real piece of it. It's there. There is pain and sorrow. In this Psalm 137, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. From their captivity, they remembered Jerusalem. They remembered where they came from. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. We put down our music and singing. We remembered Zion, and we sat there and we wept. Not in a vacuum, but before God. What a great thing to be able to move on and have a soft heart. Psalm 56:8 in the NLT, the psalmist writes, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one of your book. Okay, it's a metaphor. Some of your tears are scattered wherever. But God cares about that. God cares about our sorrow. God cares about our losses. He cares about our tears. They mean something to him. I just want to read one quote on this. I thought this really just hit it on the head really well. Maybe not. Well, anyways, my quote's gone. But sometimes sorrow feels like a dark and worthless, empty place to be. But historically and over time, it has proven to be the way to go through it with a greater sense of humanity and a greater depth of love for one another and for God. The second part of that is remembering with thanksgiving. As we look back, there is tremendous thanksgiving and joy. If you guys have a Bible or phone, I want to ask you just to pull up Philippians 1. We're just going to start at the very beginning. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, that's the city he's writing to, together with the overseers and deacons. I'm going to stop through some of this. I love that. He's writing this letter, and rather than writing it to like, hey, Pastor Steve and Dove and the other leadership, he says, hey, I'm writing to all the people and also to those guys. It's super cool. And the word there is saints. Holy people is saints. All of you who have faith in Christ are saints because you've been made holy. You've been set apart from the world for the work of God. What a beautiful thing. Continuing on, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. May you have grace and peace. I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I remember you, I thank God. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. When I remember you, I'm full of thanksgiving and joy. You guys bring that to my heart because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What an amazing phrase. There's a confidence that even those that decided to go on a different path, even those that have moved, even those that had challenges and hurts, Christ, God will continue his work in them. God is continuing his work. He's continuing to grow those seeds. He's continuing to take us forward. He doesn't let go of us. He doesn't stop pursuing us and doing good. This to me is such a great thing to be thankful for. It is right for me to feel this way about you, about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing how Paul says, I love you guys so dearly, not at a distance, but with the affection of Christ Jesus. I love you tenderly, and I long for you, even though I don't see you. And this is my prayer. Just want to offer this for us, even as we look ahead, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Okay, and this is my hope for us. May our love grow more and more. May it not grow colder. May we not just stop and clam up and wallow and shut down. May our love grow more and more, even as we grow in an understanding of Christ, and may we continue to do his will through Christ, through his strength. May his energy, may his life continue to move in us, for he is our source of life. I'm going to close with a poem. Have you guys read the kids' book, Goodnight Moon? It is a classic. If you have not read Goodnight Moon, you should. But if you don't know, this might be a weird poem, but this is Goodbye Building by Dove. It is supposed to be funny, but it's not supposed to trivialize the sense of loss, as there is some grief, and it's not supposed to trivialize what is coming next. But it's supposed to be a kid's poem. So, goodbye building, goodbye roof, goodbye garage doors, and green chairs with pockets, goodbye airplanes flying overhead, goodbye bathrooms with fans that don't run. Goodbye smooth concrete floors, and goodbye brick, and goodbye mortar. You've been a good place, and there has been way more to it. Lives have been touched, friendships have been born, God has been sought, and there is much more in store. And Steve's going to talk about that.
My name's Steve. I'm the other pastor at the Rio Church, for those that don't know me. I'd like to just share a few more thoughts on just the church and closing down this location and how that affects us all and what that means looking forward into the future. I like this quote, "It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." And I think there's a lot of meaning in that, and it's going to relate to some of the things that I share. But I also really like this quote, "Whoever said it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all was a complete moron." And I think there is an aspect to which when we are in a time of mourning, we've gone through something painful, death or divorce or something like that. It's like, man, this hurts so bad. I'd give up anything not to be in this spot right now. And so I just want to recognize that this is a really painful process for a lot of people. I think in the midst of that, we want to recognize that, but also just to be able to move forward in a healthy way. And hopefully at some point, we can all kind of feel the first quote is the better of the two. But I want to think about just how there will be a time to stop mourning. And it may not be today, but eventually we want to get to a spot in this particular trial and all trials we face where we're able to move forward and go past the things that we've gone through. Just read this passage out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." So we see that we have different things going on in our lives, different trials that we face, different times of hardship, times of celebration, all kinds of different things. And for some people, this is kind of a celebration. This is our last time together. You have an awesome worship, and it's really fun. And so for some people, it's a time of deep mourning. We're not all going to be in the same place at the same time, and that's okay. Some people may be mourning for just a few days, some for weeks, maybe some for months, and it's going to hit us all a little bit differently. And there are different things that we mourn. I think there are memories that we have of this physical building, of being here, different events happening, people we talk to. There are people who we've been in a relationship with who we may not be in as much relationship. There may be people who this was not just their church building, but this was their church family, and it's not going to work for them to go to the west side. And so this will be a time of literally losing their church family. And obviously that's going to be a really hard thing. I think for me, probably the hardest thing was just the loss of opportunity. And when I think of different meaningful things that have happened and people we've met and become friends with and loved and things, just to think that we won't have this connecting point going forward. And to think that, we might lose some of those people I don't even know yet that maybe would have been our best friends and would have been really important to us. And that's something that I mourn. That's something that's hard for me. So I guess in this passage in Ecclesiastes, I just like that idea that there is a time to mourn, and that's appropriate. There's a time to mourn. That's appropriate. But there's also a time for laughter. And it doesn't mean to make light of the mourning. It doesn't mean to, that's not important. What's really important is laughter. No, it's just saying, there are phases. There are things that we move through. And I think it's good to embrace the time of mourning and seek God in the midst of that, but also to look forward to the time when that's done and the time when we're over that and we're able to be happy again and rejoice, and not just in this trial, but really in all trials. Let me tell you just a little bit more about the start of this church location. We had been at the Westside Church for, I don't know, maybe just 5 years or so when we started thinking about this church. And we hadn't really seen a lot of growth. And obviously we touched some lives and stuff, but it wasn't quite what we were hoping for. And then these people started coming to church from the Northeast, mostly military families for the most part. And we started kind of wondering, it's like, huh, is God doing something here? You know, what should we do? And it's like, you know, maybe we could start a small group over there. Maybe we could start a church over there. And yet, because we're so small on the west side, it's like what business is it of ours to even be thinking that way? I remember Kathleen and I were visiting Albuquerque or Rio Rancho. There's a guy there named Don Schlitke, and he had said something to the effect of, like, when the Spirit of God moves, ride the wave. Kind of, hey, you guys should just go for it. If God's doing something, just jump on and ride it as long as you can. It's like, okay, that's kind of an interesting way of thinking. And that's what we did, not just Kathleen and I, but a lot of people in the church working together. And we did some stuff that was kind of crazy, stuff I've never heard of before, of like having two churches with one pastor and having different people in the church speak. And I don't know if we were trailblazers or if we were just clueless or... You know, but God led us down a path that I think was really cool. God did some things in it, and Dove was raised up as part of that process, I think. And so that was really cool. And then as part of this church ministry, then we've connected with different people. And we've sang together, and we've prayed together, and we've mourned together. We've worshiped, we've listened to teachings, we've argued, we've... work through stuff. We have sought God together. We've supported one another. And all these things have happened in this group or with this group of people or even literally here in this building. And we just, you know, we've loved each other. And it's really been an amazing time. Sometimes in small groups, we do icebreakers, and I like to ask a question of, you know, what's the most significant time of spiritual growth for you? And it's always fun to hear people's responses. You know, usually there are a few people that are, oh, my childhood. There's usually a few youth groups. You know, some, oh, yeah, you know, 6 years ago we were at this church and there was this guy there and it was amazing. You know, you hear these different stories, but there's almost always someone who's like, you know, it's now. It's this group. And to me, that's kind of a cool thing to think of this church building, but also this family that was here for 7 years. And I know that there are people who look at their time here in El Paso, their time here at the Rio, and they're like, that was the time for me, that I grew the most. That was the time where I really connected with God. Maybe that's the time they found God. But I think that's just the cool thing is, it was super exciting what God was doing in the front, and then as it happened, a lot of really cool things happened. And so I think of it like riding the wave, where it's like you see the wave coming, it's like, okay, that's kind of cool, it's kind of scary, but there could be some fun stuff here. And then you jump on the wave, and then you ride out the wave, and then the wave stops, and you're like, woo, that was fun, but it's kind of sad. I don't know, I've never surfed, but that idea of being inside that curling wave, it's like, that looks like a blast. And then what do you do? Well, then you look for the next wave, right? And that's part of life, is God does some amazing things. Those things come to an end. There's a time of mourning and time of sadness. And then you move forward at some point. There's an appropriate time for mourning. And so I feel this way. I feel like victory swallows up loss. Not that loss is insignificant or doesn't count, but just eventually, hopefully our victory is more important than the loss that we go through. Let me read a story to you out of 1 Kings 17. It says, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called out, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, Only a handful of flour in a jar, a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. But first, make a loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends his rain on the land." And you get this idea here that there's this blessing, but this blessing's just for a certain amount of time, right? Once there's rain on the land, you know, at some point she goes to her little flour jar. It's like, oh, it's empty. That's kind of sad because it's just like been a magical little jar of flour for a while. And she goes to get her olive oil. It's like, oh, that's empty too. You know, and it would be kind of sad. Like, oh, this miracle has come to an end. But it was supposed to come to an end, and that was just part of what God was doing. And so then you hope that then after that, she could kind of look forward to, well, what's God going to do next? And so if we could just look at that process, there's, wow, that was amazing. Too bad that couldn't go on forever. Where's the next wave? And I hope that's our process. Like, wow, that was amazing. Oh, it's really hard, though. And it's sad that it's come to an end. But where's the next wave? What's God doing next? And so loss is part of the story, but it's only a part. I feel like victory swallows up loss. Maybe not today, but hopefully over time, as we look at it, we'll feel more that way. Of course, Jesus a couple times fed thousands of people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. And kind of the same thing happens, right? Everybody gets food. They eat as much as they want. And then they find out, oh, there's a little bit of bread left over, a little bit of fish left over. And you're like, oh, that's kind of sad. I was hoping maybe we could, like, have some to-go containers and eat some later. And, like, let's keep this thing going. But that's not the way it works. And I think their response would have been this. Like, wow, that was amazing. It's too bad. Couldn't go on forever. Where's the next wave? And so loss, again, is part of the story, but only a part. And I know those are maybe some simple stories. You might feel like a loss that you're facing, or maybe even the closing of this church location. You're like, Steve, that's what I'm going through is way bigger than that. I understand that, but it's really the same process. I've gone through some big things as well. Loss is just one part of the story. God does amazing things in our lives. When we lose those things, it's really, really hard sometimes. But we know that life goes on, and the morning comes to an end, and then we can look for God to do the next thing. And so we want to keep looking for the next wave. And for me, I just think about, this has been hard for me, but I also just feel really confident this is what God's doing. And so just as when we started this church location, it just seemed like this is what God's doing, and that's kind of exciting, and let's do that. I kind of feel that way now. Like, okay, God's clearly led in this new way. It's not the way I would have chosen, but God's clearly doing it, and so let's look for it. Where is God moving? Where is the next wave? And then let's ride that wave. So I'm not doing terrible, and people are kind of like, Steve, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing okay, because I really feel God's hand in this. But one of the things I think about is just how, you know, these different people we've met, you know, like the Wilhites or the Webers or the Slykuses or the Huffines or, you know, different people over the years. And it's like, oh, you know, if we wouldn't have been here, maybe we wouldn't have met them. And so it's kind of sad. But I also can look to the future and say, you know what? In a month or in a year or in 5 years, we're going to look back and we're going to say, you know what? I wouldn't have met these people in my life, or this event wouldn't have happened if we didn't close down the airport church. And we're going to see that God's path, that God's new wave is also a good wave. And he's doing amazing things, and that there's blessing in the midst of that. In the Rio Church, we really desire to be a life-giving church, and I think our church has been. I think this location has been as well. But part of that is it's important to understand that that for us to be life-giving, we have to be connected to the life-giver. And in Ezekiel 47, there's a passage where God gives Ezekiel a vision, and Ezekiel sees this little stream of water trickling out of the temple, or it's coming from God. And as it comes out, it gets wider and wider and deeper until it's giving life to all kinds of fish and trees and all kinds of things. And then it gets to this point, Ezekiel 47:9 says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there. It makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. And that's the key. Just like if you're sitting in the water after the big ride through the curl of the wave, what do you do? It's like, okay, where's the next one? And I feel a little bit like that as a church. Like, okay, okay, that was awesome. And it's like, okay, where's the next one? And I think the key thing is there that we're looking to God. Like, okay, God, what's next? What do you have next? Whatever that looks like, we want to ride that next wave. And so in light of that, I'd like to just celebrate communion kind of quickly here. I think communion is appropriate for a couple of reasons. One is communion, I think of as it's both. It's looking back and looking forward. You're looking back to what Jesus did on the cross, but you're also looking forward to the day when Jesus is going to drink the cup again with us in eternity. And so there's both aspects there. And then also, I think it's good for us to remember, just as we're looking for that next wave, to remember, and that's found in Jesus. You know, we're looking to him like, okay, what do you have next for us? And just to realize that he's the source of life for us, forgiveness of eternal life, but also the source of finding life in the day-to-day life. So I'm going to pray for a minute here. While I'm praying, if people could get up and grab, there's some little cups over here, grab those and bring them back to your chair, and then we'll do communion together. So, Jesus, we just thank you for what you've done for us, and thank you for just giving us life. Thank you for what you've done here in this church location, and how we have been able to just share your word, and worship together, and minister to people, and make a difference in so many different people's lives. And it's not because of anything that we've brought, or anything that we had to offer, but it's because we have connected to you, and we've found life in you, and we've been able to help others find that life too. Either through sharing the gospel message with them and helping them find eternal life, or by helping them connect with you and experience life in the daily, in your kingdom. And so we thank you for that. Jesus, I just thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you that you hung there on the cross, not because ropes held you there or nails held you there or soldiers forced you to be there, but because of your love for us. Your love for us held you to that cross. I praise you for that. And so we just want to remember you and to remember to look to you as our source of life and to thank you for what you've done for us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And when Jesus was with his disciples, he said that this bread is my body, which has been broken for you. And let's partake of that. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the wine and he blessed it. And he said, this is my blood, which has been poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So you can go ahead and drink that. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for just going to the cross. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we get to celebrate communion here together. And it may be the last time here in this building, but it won't be the last time. And we'll continue to seek you and find life in you. And I thank you that for most of us, we'll be able to remain together on the west side and continue to enjoy a fellowship. And I pray for those who may end up going somewhere else, God, that you would help them to find a life-giving place to connect, and that would be very meaningful for them. And so we just love you. Thank you for this time here. Thank you for just all the blessings that have come with this church plant and with this location. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.